Shalom, this is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast coming to you today from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks near Branson, Missouri. And we're looking at the life of Jesus, our Savior. We've been studying Him as He came as a baby. And now we're going to look at His life as He progresses. I read yesterday to you something I have written in the front of my Bible because the Bible is God's plan. This is by Clarence Larkin. The Holy Scriptures are not a systematic treatise on theology, history, science, or any other topic. They are a revelation from God of His plan and purpose in the ages as to the earth and the human race. Holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit during a period of 1,600 years from 1492 BC to 100 AD, some 40 different authors. This is the plan of God. And as we come over into the book of Matthew now, we're going to look today, as Jesus came on the earth, God's plan has been working out. That one that walked up and down through the eternities has taken on flesh. He laid aside His glory. He that had walked up and down through the eternities, as we are told in Micah chapter 5, entered into a woman's womb and became a little baby who didn't know how to walk, didn't know how to talk, and had to be taught these things. And so today, we're going to start with the wise men, or as some call them, the magi and the star. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews?" They knew he was to be a king. "For we have seen his star in the east." They knew the star was significant. "And we are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where the Messiah should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet." We read that prophecy yesterday, Micah 5:2. "And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah. Art you not the least among the princes of Judah? For out of you shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." Then Herod, when he had privily or privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him." When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Who were these wise men? People think there were three. The Bible does not tell us that there were three. The Bible simply says that they brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh, very valuable gifts. I was reading the Companion Bible, and Bullinger said, we're not even really told that they're Gentiles. They could well have been Jews. Whether or not they were Gentiles or Jews, this might help you to understand some of that. There had been a prophecy in Numbers that tells about the star. Now, it was given through Balaam, who was an evil man. He had been hired by the king of Moab, who is present day, that's present day Jordan, to curse the Jews because they were coming in. They were coming out of the wilderness. They were coming into the promised land. And there were at least 2.5 million of them. And he said, my goodness, that group of 2.5 million people, if they come through my place. So he hired a man to curse them. But you remember, people love to say, if God can use a donkey, he can use me. Well, Balaam's donkey, an angel came. When Balaam, this seer, who had been hired by Balak, the king of Moab, to curse Israel, an angel stood in the path. Well, Balaam didn't see it, but his donkey did. And he spoke. Then the donkey spoke to Balaam. And Balaam was so overpowered by God that he was told, "How," and he even said, "How can I curse whom God has blessed?" Because the king of Moab wanted him to put a curse on Israel, but he knew he couldn't do it. That's what I say too when people tell me, "Oh, a bunch of witches are going to come." Brother Hagin, they came to Tulsa. A bunch of witches are going to come. Covens, they're moving out here to put a curse on Ramah. Brother Hagin said, "Let them come. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. How can they curse whom God has blessed?" They can't curse you unless you let them curse you. So this is Balaam, and he made the prophecy that God put in his mouth concerning Israel. Balaam never became a good man. He died later in a war with his, but, and the Bible even speaks of his death and calls him a seer. Not a good seer, but a false guy. So here is Balaam, and here is his prophecy. Numbers 24:15. He took up his parable and said, "Balaam, the son of Beor, hath said, and the man whose eyes are open hath said, he has said, which heard the words of God, and knew the knowledge of the Most High, which saw the vision of the Almighty, falling into a trance, but having his eyes open." And here is the prophecy. "I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and destroy all the children of Seth. And Edom shall be a possession, Seir also shall be a possession for his enemies, and Israel shall do valiantly. Out of Jacob shall come he that shall have dominion, and shall destroy him that remaineth in the city." Now, a star out of Jacob. When God wants to speak of the Jews, he doesn't say Abraham. He doesn't call them Abraham. He doesn't call them Isaac. He calls them Jacob. Abraham had another son. Isaac had another son. But all 12 of Jacob's sons, he never had another son other than the children of Israel. So when God's going to be speaking of the Jews as the flesh Jews, then he calls them Jacob. And the prophecy of Balaam says, "There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel." A scepter is the scepter that a king holds and rules. He shall have dominion. So that's why they knew he was king of the Jews. These words for these men that came in the book of course, as you know, the book, the New Testament is written in Greek, and it calls them wise men. But the Greek is the word M-A-G-O-I. I don't know exactly how you pronounce it, M-A-G-O-I in the Greek. We need Rick Renner here. But you can see why it's very close to M-A-G-I, the Magi. So these were called Magi. Now, who are the Magi? Let's look at Jeremiah chapter 39 and verse 1. In the book of Jeremiah, the Jews were about to be overrun by the Babylonians, and the Babylonians were going to carry them off into the Babylonian captivity. Jeremiah chapter 39, verse 1. "In the ninth year of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the 10th month, came Nebuchadrezzar, king of Babylon, and all his army against Jerusalem, and they besieged it." Verse 3. "And all the princes of the king of Babylon came in and sat in the middle gate, even Nergal, Sharezer, Samgan, Garnebo, Sarsakim, Rabsaris, Nergal, Sharezer, Rabmag, with all the residue of the princes of the king of Babylon." So the king of Babylon came right into the gates of the city, and it says who he had with him, his leaders. Now one of them is called R-A-B-M-A-G. It was a title of Rabmag, the chief of the Magi. Remember that Babylonians depended a lot on their astrologers and the magicians, and they had a high office called the Rabmag. And we see that one of them who was the Rab Mech at that time, came over to Jerusalem. Now in the book of Daniel, after Daniel has given, you remember the king, Nebuchadnezzar had the dream of the great creature, the head of gold, the arms of silver. When he, Daniel, gave the interpretation of that to Nebuchadnezzar, listen to this. Then the king Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and worshiped Daniel, and commanded that they should offer an oblation and sweet odors unto him. The king answered unto Daniel and said, "Of a truth, it is that your God is a God of gods, and a Lord of lords, and a King of kings, and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldest reveal this secret." Then the king Nebuchadnezzar made Daniel a great man, and gave him many gifts, and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon, and chief of the governors over all the wise of Babylon. Now, in our King James Bible, they put in the word men, but it's italicized. He made him the chief, the Rosh, over all the Magi. He became the chief of the Magi. He became the Rav Mag, or Rab Mag. The other man went out of that office, and Daniel is put in as the chief, the head of the rabbi, of the magi. Nebuchadnezzar had another dream of a tree being cut down and only the stump left. In this case, the magicians, the astrologers, the soothsayers, none of them could help him again. But at last the king is giving these words in Daniel 4:8. But at last Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belteshazzar. And I said, "O Belteshazzar, master of the magicians, because I know you, the spirit of the holy gods is in you." He addressed Daniel as the chief magi, the master of the magi, the Rab Mag, the head of them. This is Daniel chapter 4, verse 9. Daniel had become the master of the magicians, the chief of the magis. The magis who came to worship the child Jesus, the wise men, were looking for the star and the king of the Jews because of the teachings of Daniel when he held that office. When Daniel taught them as the chief magi, he went back to the prophecies of Genesis. He told them there was going to come a king of the Jews. He told them there was going to be a star. And as Bullinger says, we don't even know that they were Gentiles. That's just kind of come down through the years. They might have been Gentiles. Could have been some of the Chaldeans, could have been some of the people even from Iran, but they could have been Jews because Jews too were captured, consider the three Hebrew children. Jews lived in Babylon, only 42,000 of them came home, but Jews lived in Babylon until 1948 when they were evicted by Iraq. And so we see the Bible all together and the prophecies that we're looking for. Bless the Lord. Join us this Sunday at Victory Christian Center for the evening service. Billy Joe and Sharon Doherty's great church there. We're looking to God. Billy Joe invited me before he moved to heaven to come, and we believe it's the will of the Lord. Also, the road show on Monday with David Warren and Roberta Potts. Shalom. This is Billy Brim.